Better? All right, good. So some of you younger ones in here have been free from homework and all other kind of things, but I got bad news for you because tomorrow, guess where you are going to be? And so all good things can sometimes feel like they come crashing down to an end here. And tomorrow, while you are sitting in school, taking notes, thinking about all the homework assignments you can be working on, you are going to be wishing that you were here instead. We would all much rather be at a place that is known as the happiest place on the planet. Am I right? I almost thought about saying, you know, should I get our school-age kids to do a survey here of what you would rather be doing tomorrow, but I thought, no, I won't do any of that. Disney is known as the happiest place on the planet, and we all want happiness. And let's say that you decide, you know, I have to be at Disney tomorrow. I am going to Disney. To get there, if you want a road trip, you've got to get in the right direction, and then you've got to move. It's very simple. You've got to be in the right direction, and then you've got to move. You can stay on Route 50, and you will never get there. Hey, I'm moving, look, I'm going, but you're in the wrong direction. If you stay on Route 50, that is going to take you all the way to the Eastern Shore, or it's going to take you all the way into the heart of West Virginia. Nothing against either of those places, but they're not Disney. You can drive on 50 all you want. Well, no, I'm moving. Look, come on, I'm going. But you're going in the wrong direction. Now, maybe you're thinking, yes, I am smarter than Pastor Mark. I know that Route 50 goes east-west, east-west, west-east, west-east, east-west, and so on. I am going to aim my car south because I know that Disney is in Florida. I am going to get in my car, I will point it south, and I will sit in there. You're not going to get to Disney because you haven't done anything. To get to where you ought to be, you've got to be headed in the right direction, and you've got to take some action. Now, why does this all matter? Why am I talking about the happiest place on the planet? I'm talking about the happiest place on the planet because deep down inside of us, each one of us wants the happiest life we can have. We want to be happy. New Year's is a time where we stop, and many of us will make resolutions. We're going to say, let me predict some of them. I need to lose about 10 pounds. I need to get up earlier. I need to go to bed earlier. We all will make resolutions, something like that. And the trouble with these resolutions is they end up becoming these little laws, these little regulations that we try to get to work, and they end up, we do great for a little while. Gym memberships sell out in January. Gyms are misery in January. You can get in line and then you stand there and it's like, I gotta wait for four more people to get on this treadmill. You show up in February, open season, okay? So little rules and regulations really aren't gonna help us all that much. They can be good for giving us some guidance, but there's gotta be more behind them. So does God give us what we need for happiness? I will never make a resolution to eat Brussels sprouts because I don't like Brussels sprouts. I will only make resolutions which I believe will ultimately make my life better because that's really at the core of what we want, happy, contented lives. And you know something? God wants that for us too. You can open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 1. The first psalm. The psalms are about in the middle of your Bible, and some say that the psalms were the original songbook of God's people. I think it is no mistake that Psalm 1 is placed where it is in the Bible. Just listen to this as we read through Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous, for the Lord watches over the righteous. But the way of the wicked will perish. It's the first psalm. Again, I think it's no mistake that God put it there so that when we open the book of Psalms, when we read into it, God says, I'm going to give you what you need to get established in life. It starts out like this, blessed, blessed. Now, we can make that one of these nice spiritual terms. And sometimes we will go out of our way to say, well, it's not all about feelings, it's not all about happiness. And in some ways, that's true. But you know what the word blessed means? It means prosperity, favor, and happiness bestowed by someone else. When you see the word blessed throughout Scripture, it's talking about happiness, prosperity, contentment. It's what we all want. So I would suggest before we try to make our resolutions for the new year, we step back and look at some attitudes that need to be under everything. You want to be truly happy in life? You want to enjoy life no matter what life throws at you? It's right here in God's word. Blessed is the man. Well, blessed is man who does what? Who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scorners. There's a progression here. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scorners. When you're walking along, you're kind of just trucking right through life. When you stand, you're pausing. You're going, whoa, what's going on here? When you sit down, you're settling in. You're soaking in all that's around you. You see, getting the right direction in life is just like getting the right direction to go to Disney. You got to be pointed in the right way. The way to get pointed is towards Christ. And if you're surrounded by influences that are contrary to Christ, you're driving in the wrong direction. You're driving on Route 50 trying to get to Disney. You see, we get influenced by who's around us. The great thing about following Christ is he doesn't say, okay, you need to make these resolutions every day and stick to them, because he knows we can't do that. But he wants us to set a direction. See, your direction determines your destination. Your direction determines your destination. If you want to end up enjoying the life that God wants you to enjoy, well, you got to point towards him. He needs to be your direction. Life is about choices, and your direction starts with a choice. Who will shape you? You see, we become like who or what we hang out with. The people we hang out with, the media we hang out with, that all influences us. And we have a choice. We can say, I'm going to listen to all those voices around me, or I'm going to listen to God. And there are ways that we listen to those voices all around us. I'm not one of those guys that says, throw the TV out, although sometimes I think that probably wouldn't be a bad idea. But just think of all the time that we spend getting bombarded with the world's ideas, not just in the programs we watch, but the ads that come through it. And all of that influences us. And quite honestly, we've got to stop and think. You know, these shows that I enjoy, or maybe it's I'm bored, I'm just going to sit and turn on whatever's there. But are the ideas that come across in this, are they the sort of things that really they're just glorifying sin? They're scorning God? Is that the sort of thing that we want to influence us? We will be like who or what we spend time with. And if you allow the wrong stuff to direct you, you're on Route 50 trying to get to Disney, and you won't get there. Direction matters. So how do you get this direction? It says this in verse 2. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. That's the action we need to take. Meditating on God's word. I'm so glad that we've got all ages in here, because I'm here to tell you, you are not too young to read the Bible. You're not too young to discuss it. You can make some decisions now at your age to follow Christ, which will benefit you the rest of your life. Don't just say, well, I'm going to wait till I grow up. I'm going to wait till I finish college. This is my time to mess around. Follow him now. Let him influence you. Meditate on God's word. Now, what does it mean to meditate? See, meditation didn't come very easily to us in Northern Virginia. We're fast-paced, and we like to pride ourselves on it. I mean, typical Northern Virginia greeting, I've said this before. Hey, how you doing? Busy, man, I'm swamped. Hey, me too. It's almost like a badge of honor in Northern Virginia to say, I am so buried, so swamped that I don't have time to think about anything or really even have a meaningful conversation with you. That's no way to live. We need to be people that learn how to meditate. It's a practice which I think has fallen out of use in our culture. We tend to associate it today with Eastern religions. But God has always told his people, meditate on my word. So what does it mean to meditate on Scripture? To meditate on Scripture means to take it and just chew on it. You ever walk past a cow pasture? I know there's not many of them around here, but maybe you've gone a little bit further out west, and you see these cows. What are cows doing all the time? Let me demonstrate. They are meditating on the grass that they are eating. They're thinking about it over and over and over. And we need to be doing the same, except with God's word. We can kind of have a mindset of, okay, I've got to check this off my list. Yep, I've read God's word. Okay, I've done my 5 minutes. Boom, I'm on to the rest of the day. God says, no. Get my word in your mind and then think about it throughout the day. It doesn't mean that you just sit there and go, But it does mean that as you go about your day, you're thinking about that passage you read. Maybe you talk to one of your friends about it, but you're keeping God's word on your mind. That's the action we need to take. The direction we've got to take is towards God rather than towards those that mock him. Now, I am not saying that church people ought to just stay in a holy huddle. Don't misunderstand me. What I'm talking about here is fellowship, common bonds, unity. It needs to be with people and things that will point you in the right direction. Because we'll become like who we hang out with. We need to be the influencers rather than the influenced. Bible reading. We've challenged all of us as a church. Read through the Bible. Maybe you won't do it in a year, maybe 2 years. But God has given us an incredible treasure right here. You know, there are people in the world today that can't read the Bible in their own language because they don't have it. Yet in English, we have an embarrassment of riches. You can get 18 zillion translations in English. Read the Bible. Talk with others about the Bible. In your homes, be creative in how you do it. If you got young kids, get them to act out some of the Bible scenes. You know, I love watching, I've seen Zach and Ben act out David and Goliath, and it's funny, Goliath usually wins in this one because he's bigger, but we say, no, you got to stick with the Bible. But be creative in getting the Bible to our children, because when we get the Bible to our children, we're running it through our mind as well, and it is influencing us. You got to be in the right direction towards Christ. You've got to take an action, and that is to be influenced by his word. But then the Bible gives us a contrast. Oh, and the Bible goes on, and it says here that when you do this, you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and you'll yield your fruit in its season. God is in control of everything that happens. And in his timing, he will do great things, but it's his timing. It goes on, verse 4, not so the wicked. They're like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. What God is calling us to do here is take the long view. We live in a world that's a microwave world. I want it now. So what if I go into all kinds of debt? I want it now. I've got to have it now. We're impatient. But God is the opposite of that. He wants us to be patient. Being patient is never easy, but I find it is especially hard the younger you are. My prayer for you, my challenge to our children, to our youth, is that you would follow Christ now. Allow him to work in you. And you may not see great things now, but you will be building a foundation for a solid life that is blessed by God. It's what you would want if you knew all the facts. See, you won't reach your destination immediately. When you hop on the road, you can be pointed in the right direction, you put your foot on the accelerator, and guess what? Even after doing those two correct steps, you don't magically show up at Disney. It's a journey. Take the long view. When you drive a car, you're continually doing little corrections like this. Because if you don't, cars tend to naturally, they're a little bit out of alignment, you veer off towards the side of the road. You don't want to do that. You're continually doing little corrections. But you're keeping the direction. You're staying on focus, on target. I think of the Redskins. What an amazing season. We are the division champs. Now, I have been a Redskins fanatic since I was about 8 years old. And so it's been a long, dry spell. I remember the glory days of Super Bowl after Super Bowl, and it's almost like you could book it in your calendar and say, yep, we're throwing a Super Bowl party when the Redskins will play whoever they're going to thrash. You know, that's. And those days, I've been sorely missing them. But what's happened with the Redskins is they've abandoned this idea of getting a quick fix by getting some high-dollar player, but they're establishing a culture of winning and an attitude. And that is what we need to do in our lives. There's no magic bullet, no magic fix, which is going to turn everything around right away. But we need to build a culture which says, in my life, I am headed towards Christ. I am going to be influenced by him and by his word. And I may not see incredible things happen today, but I'm building for it so that I'm available to say, God, I'm yours, whatever you need me to do, whenever you need it. Life is a journey. Passage ends like this. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. A righteous person isn't necessarily someone who's got it figured out and is perfect. A righteous person is someone who is in relationship with God. A wicked person is not necessarily someone, in the way this language is used here, that is jail bad, but it's someone who has no life with God. That's a life that will not last. We want our lives to be about things that will last a long time. And this brings us to the gospel. Real happiness in life comes from relationship with God. You get relationship with God by choosing to say, I'm going to follow him. You spend time getting to know him through the pages of Scripture, through talking with other people that know and love the Lord. That influences you. That gets you in the right direction. And you know, what's in your heart and what's in your mind will ultimately come out of our lives. So if you allow junk into your mind, and that is the main thing on you, well then, you're not going to get to Christ-like behavior. But if you allow him to percolate in your minds, then you know something? You will naturally act right. And you won't do it by having a bunch of little rules and regulations that, okay, I need to do this. And no, it's like when you follow Christ, you will naturally end up where he wants you to end up. Why? Because he's following you. We got a puppy yesterday, which is why if I look a little tired right now, that might be why. We had one of these sessions, family sessions, where, okay, all right, kiddos, every one of you is on pickup duty, right? Oh, yeah. Well, you know, not that that hasn't fully come through or anything, but this little dog, we got to keep him on a leash until he really understands his surroundings. And so when he follows me, I can drop the leash. But you know something? This morning, it was really kind of cool. I was just walking around the house, and he's right there beside me. I didn't have to hold on to the leash, but he just knew to follow me. And really, that's what God wants us to do with him, just to follow him. When you follow him, you will end up where he wants you to be. You don't have to be stressed about figuring out God's will for you, because God wants us to follow him more than anything else. And when you follow him, all the details will fall into place. In just a few moments, we're going to be taking communion together. And I would encourage you to be reflecting and thinking about the choices in your life. Taking communion would be a great time to say, Lord, I want to get back on track with you. Lord, I want to follow you. Would you help me to do that this upcoming year and then beyond? It's about making a choice. Say, Lord, I'll follow you. Lord, I want to be influenced by you, and the action I'm going to take is I'm going to get into your word. I'll read it personally. I'll be involved with others that read it. And so we can point one another towards you. So I encourage you to reflect on being headed towards Christ. We'll take communion in just a few minutes, but we've got a video we want you to see. It talks about the cross or the crowd. Who are you going to follow? Maybe use this time to reflect on that, and then in a few minutes we'll take communion. I recognize we've got all ages in this service, and so parents, we leave it up to you with your children. Communion is intended for those who know Jesus Christ as Savior and are following him. And if your children are of age and they've made profession of faith, by all means, bring them up. If they're uncomfortable doing that, they can come up and just follow you and watch what's going on. But prepare your hearts now by listening. The crowd or the cross? Who are you going to follow? Who's going to have influence in your life?